It's time to look at some of the top stories in national politics.
Passage of the far-reaching farm bill looks likely after it cleared the Senate yesterday. A criminal justice reform bill is also getting brought up for a vote before the holidays. And President Trump sparred yesterday with Democratic leaders in the Oval Office over whether a government funding bill should include money for a border wall.
Our question for you this week: do you think President Trump is right to force a partial government shutdown if Congress doesn't approve border wall funding? Should building a wall be part of border security now or in the long term? And if a shutdown does happen, which party would you see as responsible? Does a shutdown matter to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org.
Daniel Neuhauser is a staff correspondent for the National Journal. He joins us from the U.S. Capitol building. Dan, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with this kind of weird meeting. President Trump, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi, probably the next House Speaker, had this kind of rowdy meeting in the Oval Office about government funding. Let's give a little listen and get a taste of what happened yesterday.
20 times Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have
said. You want to know something?
You've said
okay, you want to put that
you've
on my...
You said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle.
All right, a lot going on here, Dan. First of all, the meeting itself, I don't know that it was intended to have this kind of feud on camera. What do you make of this?
Well, I mean, this reminded me more of like a contentious Thanksgiving family dinner than a meeting between political adversaries. It was rowdy, as you said. It was consisted of a lot of bickering and frankly, circus-like.
And this moment here where President Trump says, he couldn't have stated it more clearly, if a shutdown happens over the border wall, he will take responsibility. How are Republicans on the Hill reacting to that? Are they keen to have a Republican-branded shutdown?
Well, absolutely not. There's been several of these shutdowns or near shutdowns over the last decade or so. And it's always kind of a finger-pointing game where maybe there's a little bit of blame on both sides because the fact is they can't come to terms on a certain policy, but nobody generally tries to come out and say, I'm shutting this government down, and it's my fault, blame me, and I'm doing it because of this. They always try to say, I don't want to shut the government down, but if you don't agree to my policy, it's going to be your fault. President Trump just kind of gave away the game there, and I've been talking to a couple of members up here, and they're not exactly happy about that. They'd love to be able to sell this a different way.
Now, we have some government funding, some portions of the government funding bills due not too far from now, just over a week. What is at stake here? What are the sides saying? What's the president looking for border wall? What are Democrats offering on border security? Different words.
Yes. So the key here is it a wall or is it some sort of security fence or security infrastructure? President Trump is sticking with his campaign promise of saying, I need a wall, and he's asking for $5 billion in this Department of Homeland Security funding bill to construct a wall. Now, in the past, they've gone back and forth about this, and they've tried to tie it to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, or better known as the DREAMER program. And Senate Democrats went so far as to even offer $25 billion over 10 years for a wall or security fence or something of the sort in exchange for a long-term fix to the DREAMER issue. And that did not fly with the White House. So now they've okayed basically $1.6 billion max for not what they're calling a wall, but more of a fence. But now the dynamic has kind of changed since the House is poised to flip sides to the Democrats next year. Democrats are buoyed by the fact that they're going to be in control. They have a lot of progressive members coming in here who are not interested in even $1.6 billion for this. So what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have now agreed to cast as their position is that they want a one-year continuing resolution, which would just continue current policy, which includes, say, about $1.3 billion for border security until next year, and then they would resume these discussions towards the end of next year and try to get more of a long-term fix in there.
We're looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Dan Neuhauser is with us from the National Journal. Do you have thoughts on this standoff over border security funding, border wall funding? Do you want to see a literal wall, as the president is calling for, should Congress vote to pay for it? Or do you want to see a smaller amount of border security funding added or not at all? And is this all worth shutting down part of the federal government for? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. For now, Dan, I want to move on to an issue that I know you're following, the U.S. Farm Bill. We've talked about this on the show before. It does a lot. This is food aid. This is farm subsidies and a lot more. Besides, where are we now on this wide-ranging effort to pass this thing?
Well, they are literally taking the final vote on the House floor as we speak. So we will maybe by the end of the time that we're on the phone here talking, know a little more about whether or not this will pass. But it seems poised to pass. As I checked the vote totals on the way in to do this interview with you, it seemed well on its way. So it looks like everything is going to be on its way to the president's desk before the end of the day.
Now, did I see, I think you were tweeting on this. This is a farm bill. This is all about U.S. agriculture and somehow funding for Saudi Arabia related to the war in Yemen has become an issue in it?
Absolutely right. So there was some pretty high drama earlier today. So before they pass any bill, they have to pass what's called a rule, which basically contains all the rules for how to debate this bill. And last night, Republicans put into that rule some language that would block the ability of members to bring up a privileged resolution to try to end funding for Saudi Arabia while it's engaged in its conflict in Yemen. Then members were not happy about that when they found out this morning. And there was a bipartisan contingent. Almost every Democrat, all but five, voted against that so-called rule. And several Republicans did too. And it would have failed, which would have meant back to the drawing board for how to get the farm bill to the floor, if not for five Democrats who are largely sympathetic to the farm bill, who crossed party lines and voted for the rule. But this only blocks the Yemen debate for the rest of the year. Next year, it's January 3rd when they come back in. They can start all over. And I already talked to Ro Khanna, who has been the chief sponsor of this Yemen resolution. He said they're gonna get right back to it as soon as possible.
Okay, getting to the non-Yemen parts of the U.S. Farm Bill, what were some of the key compromises that were made? Because there were a lot of sticking points. What were some of the key compromises that got this thing on the road to passage?
Well, I wouldn't call them compromises so much as House Republicans pretty much completely giving up on some of their more contentious efforts. They were, the biggest sticking point was that they were trying to put work requirements on people who are in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps. That was completely removed from the bill. There's hardly anything dealing with that anymore. And then Senator Chuck Grassley was trying to put limits on farm payments, that they can't be paid also to cousins, nieces, nephews of farm owners, that kinds of things. That was completely removed too. Grassley ended up voting against the bill in the Senate, but it moved on anyway.
We're talking to Dan Neuhauser of the National Journal about the week's top news in national politics.
Still time for you to weigh in on our question of the week at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see President Trump compromise on the issue of border wall funding in order to avoid a government shutdown? Is this potential shutdown a big deal for you? Do you see one party standing in the way of progress on immigration issues, or is this a bipartisan problem? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Darrell Connor.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our talk with Dan Neuhauser from the National Journal, looking at some of the week's top stories in national politics. To your calls now, we invited your calls on a border wall and this weird meeting between the president and Democratic leaders in Congress. Peg is with us in Madison. Peg, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Peg?
I just have a rhetorical question. And I listen to this president time after time after time during the campaign say that Mexico will pay for the wall. Believe me, believe me. And after 3,000 plus lies from this president, I think everyone should call every single senator and say, get the money from Mexico. That's what you promised.
Peg, thanks for the call. Dan, and Mexico is going to pay for it, part of the wall promise. Has President Trump referred to that in recent memory?
Well, I haven't heard it recently, but I know for sure Democrats have. It is not lost on them that he is asking for taxpayer money to fund something that he said in the campaign would be funded by a foreign country. And so that's just another message in their arsenal when they try to push back against this.
Peg, thanks for that call. We'll go now to Thomas with us in La Crosse. Thomas, hi.
Howdy. I'm actually from down in Texas. I lived down there for quite a while. That's actually where I'm from. But as far as border security goes, you kind of, like a lot of people sit there and neglect to think that, yeah, we have all this ability. It's no different than you got a door. You have a door to go into your house. So obviously, you have a door so people can't get into your house also when you don't want them to. So kind of the same extent. So that's all I really had to say.
All right, Thomas, thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts on immigration security. Yeah, and Dan, as we listen to the president and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer talk about this, they're really coming from different places. The president is saying the wall, a literal wall, is essential to border security. Democrats saying border security can look like a lot of things other than a wall.
Yeah, and a lot of that is that they're beholden to their own political bases. Democrats cannot approve anything that is called a wall, even if they put up some sort of fencing or, have drones patrolling the border or send more agents down there. The wall is the thing that they cannot approve. On the other side of the aisle, Republicans can hardly settle for anything less than a wall. This is such a politicized issue at this moment in time, and it's just hard to see where there's going to be anything like a compromise here.
You know, a big story that we're not really going to focus on, Dan, is the chief of staff, the president's chief of staff, on the way out at the White House. Unclear who he's going to be replaced by, but you know, the chief of staff is somebody who can go to Congress and try to work out these compromises. Is this uncertainty going to be a problem for President Trump in trying to get things done?
I mean, it may well be. He certainly has other people working underneath the chief of staff level who can come over here and communicate his message. But without that top organizational structure, that's going to make it tough. And that's got to be, I would think, one of the reasons why now there's stories coming out saying that John Kelly is actually going to stay through the new year, maybe longer, as they try to search for somebody else who, as you noted, there still does not seem to be any real idea of who's going to take that job.
Let's take one more call before we move on from the immigration issue. Tim is with us in Spring Green. Hi, Tim.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think this is it's smoke and mirrors. It's a complete waste of money. It was just a political stunt to begin with. Trump has not demonstrated that this would actually accomplish anything. And what we need is comprehensive immigration reform, not something that's going to destroy habitat and cost billions of dollars.
Tim, thanks for the call. Dan, can the president, has the president walled himself in some ways on the wall issue with such a prominent campaign promise?
I mean, yes, absolutely. As I said before, he needs to keep pushing for this. This is one of the biggest campaign promises, and it animates his base, and it seemed as if the immigration messaging actually worked in a lot of Senate campaigns, although not so much in the House, where they lost 40 seats. So they need to do it, and I guess lost in a lot of that is actually, would this work? What is the efficacy of this? And I think it's, if you would like to look at something that might illustrate that, members who are on the border, who represent the districts where the wall would actually be, most of them, if not all of them, are against this. They don't want that in their districts.
Thanks for your calls. Dan Neuhauser is with us from the National Journal, talking about some of the top stories in national politics. I want to turn to something you wrote about, Dan. Changes happening within the Democratic caucus, lower than the level of electing a House Speaker. You looked at some of the new people promoted to the leadership team among congressional Democrats as they get ready to take power here. What are we seeing?
Yeah, that's right. And let me just add, the Farm Bill passed 369 to 47, so that's completely baked. That just happened. So yes, I wrote about the three members of the DSCC, which is the messaging wing, basically. I'm sorry, the DPCC, the messaging wing of the House Democratic Party, and they all got promoted. Hakeem Jeffries is going to be the caucus chair. Sherry Bustos, the chair of the DCCC, which deals with campaigns, and David Cicilline is doing a sort of over-chair role, overseeing the other chairs of the DPCC. Not only would I look heavily to these three and a couple of other younger members as the natural heirs to Nancy Pelosi, so people should get really familiar with their names, but also this illustrates to me what's going to be on the agenda for the next year or two for House Democrats. The message that they crafted was for the people. The three items under that umbrella are lower health care costs and prescription costs, to work on an infrastructure bill that would create jobs, and then sort of a sweeping end corruption bill, which deals with expanding voting rights and campaign finance reform. So those are the three things that I would expect the Democrats to hammer again and again. And especially you're going to hear that phrase, for the people, a lot.
And two of those three things you just mentioned, and I think you mentioned this in your piece, lowering prescription costs, for example, and infrastructure, those are both things that President Trump has talked about on the campaign trail and since becoming president, not so much the campaign finance and corruption side of things. But do you see this as maybe, hey, even though we're arguing in the Oval Office, here are some things we can work together on?
Yeah, well, and also on the third one, how many times have you heard the president say drain the swamp? Mm. So he is talking about ending corruption, even if he's not exactly doing it. So it's absolutely not a coincidence that these three items are things that seem to come right out of the president's mouth. The people who are involved in crafting this tell me, you know, if the president wants to come to the table and work with us on these items, great. You know, we would always prefer, and Nancy Pelosi would always prefer to get real solid legislation in. She can work on bipartisan compromises and so on and so forth. If not, this really becomes a political message because Democrats can say, hey, you've been saying on the campaign trail and in the White House that you want to work on these three things. We're passing legislation that does exactly that. Why are you not coming to the table? Why are Republicans not coming to the table? So over the next 2 years, as they try to prepare to win the Senate and the White House, I would expect that to be the exact message and these three things to be very high up on the congressional docket.
There have been complaints within the Democratic Party about kind of a generation gap in congressional leadership, the top three positions by held by older Democrats, not a lot of room for youth to advance in Congress. Is this a nod to those complaints?
Yes, I mean, certainly that these three members and another one, Ben Ray Lujan, and even further, Catherine Clark, who won the vice chairmanship role, advanced in the leadership elections. It does give some sense of relief to members who were worried that there's just really no next generation. There's nobody being primed for leadership. Well, these members certainly are, but that's not enough, and that's playing itself out as we speak here on the House side of the Capitol. Nancy Pelosi is trying to negotiate with a couple of rebels who are holding out support for her. And now the idea of term limits has come up. That's a very recent thing that, you know, a lot of members have kind of been reluctant to go down that road, particularly because the Congressional Black Caucus is so dead set against it. They do not want to have to give up gavels held by Congressional Black Caucus members. But now Pelosi is almost at a point where she might not have a choice, that some members would just not support her unless she backs these kinds of provisions. So as a further effort to try to pacify some of these rebels, and even further than that, even people who support Pelosi, younger members, like you said, are just kind of looking for ways to advance, Pelosi might back this, and the caucus may vote on it early next year when all of the new members come and join the members who were reelected and have their initial caucus meetings of the year.
Finally, I want to touch on this criminal justice reform bill. Senate Majority Mitch McConnell said, okay, he would bring this to the floor after being reluctant to. This is something backed by President Trump, among others. Broad strokes, what would this bill do?
Yeah, this is a nice, although modest, bipartisan compromise. It pertains only to federal prisoners, which is the smallest population of prisoners in this country. But it would ease things like the mandatory minimum sentences, three strikes, give judges more leniency in how to carry out sentences. It would give prisoners, federal prisoners, some good time credits, be able to lessen their sentences, or in some cases, if they're nonviolent offenders, even allow them to participate in education programs to limit recidivism, and then they could serve out some of their time, to finish their sentence in like a halfway house or in home confinement, things like that. That looks like it's on its way to passage. The House is ready to act on that whenever it finishes in the Senate, so they can close out the note on maybe a high note with some bipartisan legislation like the Farm Bill and criminal justice reform, and on a low note by shutting down part of the government.
Right. This is a packed agenda. Funding, Farm Bill, I guess, out of the way now. Criminal justice reform, I assume they're still approving judges here and there. I don't know. This is going to be a busy week and a half or so.
I mean, ain't it the way, they spend all year putting off the deadlines until the end of the year, hoping that when Christmas time comes around, members will smell the jet fumes and just want to pass things and get out of town. But it sometimes doesn't go quite the way that they planned it, and that's what's happening right now with the border wall and all the bickering that's going on between Republicans and Democrats.
Sounds like my educational career in a nutshell. Wait till the last minute on everything. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, anytime.
That's Dan Neuhauser, staff correspondent for the National Journal. He was with us for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics.